A little boy was standing outside of a store looking at the store window, looking at the new shoes and the clothes. It was holiday time. And as he was staring at them with his ragged clothes and his shoes that were worn, a lady could see in his eyes as she passed by the longing in his pale blue eyes. And so she got out of her vehicle and she grabbed the little boy, this is just the story, by the hand and took him into the store and bought him some new shoes and warm clothes. And then led him outside and said, "Now you can go home and have a nice holiday." And the little boy looked up at the woman and says, "Are you God, ma'am?" And she says, "No, son, I'm just one of his children." And the boy said, "I knew you had to be some relation to him." You know, that's what love looks like. And I want to show you a story today. And I've entitled the message for the next 20 minutes, "Love Spilling Over." Love Spilling Over. In fact, the story is so important, it was the scripture that was read by Victoria.
If you would turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. Mark, the 14th chapter. The story is so important that Matthew, the writers of Matthew, Mark, and John record this story. And this story left an indelible impression upon the disciples' hearts, so they had to record it in the Word of God. What makes this story relevant to us today is that this story is placed 1 week before Calvary. And at this time of the year, and tomorrow specifically, the Christian world will be honoring Palm Sunday. And then next week, Easter weekend and Easter Sunday for many of our fellow Christians. But somehow, in the midst of all of these things, this story is left out. It's not a story that we talk about, but it's 1 week from Calvary. You read, the scripture was read, I'm not going to read it again in the interest of time, but you are familiar with it just the same. If you go to the Gospel of John, as it talks about the same story, it says that Jesus is at the house of Simon the leper, who he had healed. And Lazarus is there. And Martha is there. And Mary is there. The disciples are there. We know Martha. Martha is the busy one, the server, the hustle and bustle and the practical things of life. She gets things ready. She doesn't have time to listen to the words of Christ like Mary. She loves Jesus just the same. We show our love in many ways, and she shows her ways by doing and hustling and bustling. But I can just see that she's getting upset and impatient with Mary. "I've got so much to do, and where's Mary? I need some help." Selfish Mary. But Mary, she's intently listening to every word from Jesus' lips. And as she listens to Jesus, she starts to think. And she starts to well up with emotion. That's right, emotion. She thought about how Jesus forgave her sins. She thought about how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. She thought about all the wonderful things that Jesus had done and how much he meant to her. And when she did, something happened inside of her. All the commandments now find themselves boiled down into one word. What word do you think that was? Love. That's exactly right. She thought about God as her creator. She thought about how God loved her from the beginning and how God follows me everywhere. How God follows me when I go to work. How God follows me when I go to church. How God follows me when I go to school. How God knows all about me and enfolds me with his love. And if I go to the end of the universe, God is there. Can you say amen? And even when I am depressed, God is there. Even when I am on my deathbed, is God there? Yes, he is. God is there. And so, God, I believe that you want me to spend my love on you freely and generously. And her heart is filled with gratitude. And even though she hears others around talking about Jesus' death, her love spills out. Others are talking about crowning him king, but I have a box or container of ointment, spikenard, very costly, 1 year's wages, saved for only the most important occasion of one's life. She finds her love spilling over. And as a young boy, and I heard this story when I heard about the breaking of the jar, the box over his head, I thought that that didn't sound right. But it was not that. Of course, it was unsealing the object that was full of the spikenard. And she took the contents and poured it over the head of Jesus. She knelt down and she started crying with her tears, and she took a long flowing hair and wiped his feet with her hair. And to the rabbis of her day, the law was contained in 613 commandments. 365, thou shalt not, and 248, thou shalt. But you know, love is less restraining, but more demanding. It's less irritating and burdensome, but it's more costly. You see, if you're into just merely obeying the rules, you're trying to save yourself, and it won't work. If you're in the loving, you're in the serving God, and that'll work. Who were the disciples serving? Well, Mary was trying to avoid being seen. But she couldn't help it, because when the spikenard poured out, it was such a fragrance that filled the room, the disciples noticed it right away. And the book of John says that Judas was the one that started complaining first. You see, he was the keeper of the money. And the scriptures go on to say that they started being concerned about the cost, the ointment, a whole year's wages. And he said, you could give that, if you take it and sell it, you could give that to the poor. Do you think Judas was interested in the poor? No. And he started telling the other disciples, and it started moving around the room, and they all started grumbling and complaining. And the Bible says that Judas was a thief. Had him right, had him pegged. They didn't know that real love is extravagant. And that extravagant love is always criticized. But guess what Jesus does? He comes to the defense of Mary. Now, when you read Mark, it doesn't say that she's Mary, but if you go into the other Gospels, it mentions that it's Mary. Jesus will always come to the defense of those who are criticized for being extravagant toward him. And in fact, the Bible goes on to say, what she did was so important that whenever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of as a memorial of her. But you hardly ever hear this preached at this time of the year. But I preach it. I preach it every year. I'm sorry, but you'll hear this again next year. I've made my own personal memorial for this sermon, for this lady, Mary. I'll find another nuance of truth in it. I'll preach it again next year. I've been doing this for several years. I want to apologize to my wife for hearing some of it before. What is the most extravagant thing that you've done for the Lord? I ask you that question. Well, I got you. I know what you're up to, Pastor. We're having a business meeting this evening. You are clever. You want that building built out there, and you know that this will work to get some money. Well, I trust that. I hope you will come through, but that's not the reason I preach this. Because this is not about money. What she did was an act of worship and devotion. You see, she did what everyone else in that room should have done. But she was the only one. And she was criticized for it. You can't always go along with the crowd because of criticism. Sometimes they're wrong. She was right. What happened to Mary was that her love spilled over. Another question. How much is too much? I read this and I want to read it. I can't remember where I picked it out of, but it says, Mary's act set a standard of sacrifice which none of us can better, but we can match it. Spilling over. Her love spilled over. Let me make it real for the next 5 minutes. There's a beautiful book entitled Desire of Ages. Have any of you read that? Let me see your hands if you've read that. What a book. If you don't have that, you need to get that. By Ellen White, Desire of Ages. Beautiful book. She says something very profound on page 560. She says, instead of lavishing upon the dead body of Jesus, she poured upon his living form. Mary poured out her love upon the Savior while he was conscious of her devotion. That's the point that I want to key in on the next few minutes. And as he went to his dark trials, Desire of Ages said that he carried the memory of this particular event for the rest of his life. Mary didn't take a spoonful or a couple of drops of spikenard. And that probably would have been okay. But sometimes in our lives, our love needs to spill over. I mean, we need to have every single drop come out. I mean, all of it. You see, the question is not how much you have done, but could you have done more? And that's a profound question. Because some of us, because we're talented, we do a lot, but we could do more. We need to let our love spill over. Not dribbles. Not a drop here or there, but power to the last single drop. That's duty. Have you ever let your love spill over for God? And you know what struck me about this story? That Mary did something to Jesus while he lived. Let me tell you something that I think is very, very critical for you, for me. You need to let your love spill over for God. And you need to let your love spill over for your loved ones, your family and your friends. You need to do something that's out of the ordinary. That folk are going to look at you and say, what in the world did he buy that for? Y'all don't hear me. You don't want to wait till a person dies. Y'all don't get that. Do you hear what I'm saying? You want to, at some juncture in your life, let your love spill over for God. And when it does, guess what will happen? It'll spill over to somebody else. Maybe your wife or your husband or your children. And if you have children, it's spilled over already. There's nothing like the feeling. I mean feeling. Nothing like the feeling of doing it all the way. And for God and for your loved one. There's a commercial that's shown at Christmas time. It's a Lexus commercial. And they put that big bow around the Lexus. And the individual comes outside and they see that for Christmas. Now they've taken the Lexus and put it on the inside of the house. And so you can figure out how in the world they get that in there. But the point, and I know it's a commercial. At some point in your life, you need to do something greater than that commercial for a loved one. You ought to let your love spill over. One of these days, your spouse needs to come home and his or her mouth need to be wide open. Amen. One time in your life, you need to do that for someone or have someone do that for you. Just like Jesus. And you need to do it based on love. I'm telling you as a pastor, over the years in the military and out, have done many, too many funerals. And seen too many people with too many regrets. Let your love spill over. And if you read commentaries, you'll find out to get the spikenard, you had to go to the Himalayas. 11,000 to 17,000 feet to get it. I'm not talking about ordinary doing. I'm talking about really giving something. I was in Atlanta last week during the time that they caught Brian Nichols. And of course, as I was driving, I spent the Sabbath at the Atlanta Berean Church, in fact, where my father-in-law pastored many years ago. And I, as I was driving to church, I was thinking about Mr. Nichols, but at the time, by the time I arrived, they caught him. So most of you are aware of the story. It's just fresh in my mind since I was in Atlanta during that time. We're aware of 26-year-old Ashley Smith. I was telling the first service, it's interesting, this is me, okay? This is not you, I'm not projecting, I'm just being honest with you, can I? As I read the story, you know where I got stuck? And this is bad, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but sometimes we get stuck in those areas. I was stuck because she went out 2 o'clock in the morning to get a pack of cigarettes. I missed the point of the story because I was stuck on the cigarettes. Help us, Lord. They're people. Are you with me? She's not Seventh-day Adventist. I don't know why I got stuck. I said, Lord, help me. And I finally got down and to find out what the story, what I felt was the strength of the story. Everybody's focusing on the fact that she went and got her Bible and she read it, a good thing, and she read Purpose-Driven Life, beautiful book. I've read from it, and they're going wild over the book. It's going to sell 10 million more, all right? But that's not the strength of the story. You see, as she was going into her apartment and Brian put that gun, poked it in her sides, and she started screaming. He said, stop screaming, and if you stop screaming, I won't hurt you. He took her in the apartment and wrapped her up in masking tape and electrical cord and put curtains around her. And then the story goes on to say that she talked with him. She fixed him pancakes and eggs. And you might have thought that it was purpose-driven life, but it was the power of love that saved her life. She treated him with love and kindness. And it is the most powerful influence that the world has ever known. It's called love. And that's what Mary did to Jesus. She touched the God of love with love. And love works every time. It wasn't purpose-driven life. It was plain old, I know how to treat you, love. Lord, help us to get that. Not worrying about the fact that she went to get some cigarettes. Lord, help me. Yeah, forgive me. The SWAT team came in, and after he'd killed a number of people, he got a towel, a white towel, waved it, and gave himself up. And she says, I believe God brought me to my door so that he couldn't hurt anyone else. Mend a quarrel. Seek out a forgotten friend. Dismiss suspicion, write a long overdue love note. Hug someone tightly, preferably your family, and say, I love you. Forgive an enemy. Be gentle and patient with an angry person. Express appreciation, gladden the heart of a child. Find a time to keep a promise, make or bake something special anonymously. Release a grudge, listen, speak kindly to a stranger, enter into another's sorrow, smile, laugh a little more. Talk with a friend, kneel down and pat a dog. Read a poem or two to your mate or friend. Listen, play some beautiful music. Apologize if you're wrong. Turn the television off and talk. Treat someone to an ice cream cone or yogurt cone. Do the dishes for a family. Pray for someone who help you with your hurt. Fix breakfast for someone special. Give a soft answer even though you feel strongly. Encourage someone. Point out to someone that you appreciate them. Give your teacher a break. Is this Christianity or not? Let's pray. Lord, we've been challenged today to touch you like Mary touched you. Very unusual story where you needed the comfort and love of someone, and no one responded but Mary. And when she did something special. She just let go. That's hard for us. We've been westernized. We've been told not to let go. But we can let go with you. We can give you our all. And that's many things, different things to different people. There's many here today, Lord, that have let their love spill over. And it's manifested by working and giving and doing around this church. They're in the kitchen every week, and we don't notice it. Some have let their love spill over because they have a kind word to say to everyone. Some have let their love spill over as they have given of their means and given and given and given, and they continue to give. And some have let their love spill over as they anonymously do things for people that no one knows about. Those who have let their love spill over as they have loved their family with a love that only heaven knows about. Lord, thank you for reminding us to do it right now while we have the chance. We thank you for this message during this season. And so, Lord, we're looking for that special something to do for you and someone else. And we praise your name for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glad to be home. Are you glad to have me back? Amen. It's good to be back.